Socrates famously said, the unexamined life is not worth living. Now, it's debatable whether he really said it or not, but it's reported that he said it. And what he was arguing there was that if we simply go through life without examining why we're here, what's our purpose, what's the good life all about, if we go through life and we don't examine those questions, we're no different than the animals who just live trying to meet their daily needs. And we can relate to that. I think that's a really easy way to live. And most of us find ourselves there at times. You get up, you go to work, you pay the bills, you cook the meals, you do the grocery thing, you get up, you go to work, you pay the bills, you cook the groceries, you clean the house, you do the laundry, you get up, and you just find yourself on this hamster wheel of every day, just going through the motions. And it's hard at times to pause and to stop and to say, where am I going? What am I doing? Is what I'm doing right and good and true and faithful? And it's really easy to climb on that hamster wheel and never get off. And that's one of the reasons, you guys who are around here know this. I love a new year. I'm a sucker for a new year. I love this time because it is a time that we get to pause and reflect. And one of the scriptures that I love to come to at this time of year is from Ephesians chapter 5. And it says these words right here, beginning in verse 8. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. I love how Paul always reminds us, you guys know this, remember who you are. You once were not this, but now you are light in the Lord. You've been transformed. Live as children of light. You are now different. You're no longer what you once were. So now live as the people that you truly are now. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. You used to live doing whatever pleased you or pleased people around you. And now we no longer live that way. Now we live to please the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I love that passage right there at near the end. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. What does it mean to not be foolish and to make the most of every opportunity? What is Paul trying to get around to right here? And what Paul wants us to know, if we're going to live as foolish people, we have to know that our time is limited. If you're going to live as wise, you have to understand and not live as those who are foolish, that all of us here on this earth, we have a limited amount of time. James puts it really clearly in James chapter 4, beginning of verse 13. He says this, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen to tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Doc Ackling and I were talking about this morning, Happy New Year. And Doc joked, you know, if I make it, it'll be a good New Year. And we kind of joke about that. But James says, for all of us, And the book of James is all about living wisely and not foolishness. If you want to live wisely, you got to understand that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. It is foolish to bank on that. And all of us have to understand that life is fragile. We're like a mist that appears for a moment and suddenly is gone. That none of us are guaranteed more than the moment that we're living in right now. I'm doing a class at the end of January on how to prepare for your funeral. Doesn't that sound like fun? And if so far, people are actually signing up, believe it or not, to prepare for kind of the end of life stuff. The majority of people who are signing up are beyond the age of, let's say 70 or so. Amy, thank you. for joining me. You know what? It's not. That class is not for folks who are older. It's for all of us. Because not a single one of us here is guaranteed any more time than this moment right here that we've been given. And the scripture tells us that we all ought to live as those who are prepared to die. That we ought to live understanding the fragility and how precious life is in our world, which is filled with foolishness. Our world says, don't think about death. Don't think about how fast the years are going to go by. Go to the gym, color your hair, erase your wrinkles, do whatever, and just believe that you're going to keep on living forever. Don't go to funerals. Don't read the obituaries. Don't do any of those things, and just pretend that your life is going to go on forever. And most of us have bought into that, and we think that's helping us. And the Bible says it's foolishness. It leads to foolish thinking, and it then leads to foolish living. The psalmist says in Psalm chapter 39, verse 14, verse 4, he says, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. Show me, Lord, my life's end. Show me the number of my days and how fleeting they are. And I think most people in our world today would say, no, I don't want to do that. And yet the Bible says, here is the way to wisdom. Why would the psalmist ask this right here of God? God, show me the number of my days and how short. Why would he do that? Well, imagine this. Imagine if you had 1 gallon of water for this whole week. Would you like to be told about it ahead of time? Be nice, wouldn't it? And if you had 1 gallon of water for the whole week, would you waste it? Would you savor it? Would you think about it? For most of us, we go, absolutely. I would want to know about that. And the psalmist says to us, man, let's seek the Lord to understand that our time here is limited. And what that leads to is actually wisdom in how we live our lives. I for several years ago, the Lord, I felt like, led me to go do my morning devotions at a cemetery. And so I would get up in the morning, I would drive my car over to the cemetery, and I would do, if it was nice, I would get out and sit on the bench. If it wasn't nice, I would sit in my car. And as I did my morning devotion, the Lord led me to look at all those headstones. And I felt like the Lord told me, as I sat there in the cemetery and I would look at all those headstones, he would say, Jeff, all those people were one day doing the same thing you're doing. They were getting up, they were going to work, they were living life, and now they're there. Think about that. And I did that for several months and thought about that. The fact that unless Jesus comes again, that's where I'm going to end up. And after several months of just spending that time there with the Lord, thinking about that, I didn't get depressed. I got more wise in how I thought about my life. And I got more grateful for it. And I got more passionate for the things that God was calling me to do and to be about. And I began to ask God for more. Lord, I just want to be the, I want to experience the fullness of what you want. I don't want to waste this precious thing that you've given to me. I don't want foolish thinking and foolish living. Lord, thank you for this day that you've blessed us with. And I recognize that I'm not guaranteed anything else than what I have right now. So help me to savor it and live it to the fullest in faithfulness to you, doing the things that are going to last for all eternity, not just going through life, not thinking about how it's being used. Lord, teach us to number our days that we might live wisely, that we might savor it, that we might not waste it. And Paul is encouraging these Christians at Ephesus, guys, live wisely. Think about the number of your days. And then he says something really important that we need to grab a hold of there in verse 16. He says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now, what's Paul mean by that the days are evil? What he means is that we have to be diligent and thoughtful and careful about how we live. Because the time we live in is not neutral. This picture, maybe I thought about this picture as I was thinking about that this week. Because we took the girls whitewater rafting one time. And you can imagine what that's like when you're going down that white. Some of y'all have experienced that. And how hard is it to go downstream in a moment like this? It's not hard to go downstream, is it? And if you hopped out in the middle of this river right here and you said to yourself, I don't really know whether I want to go upstream or downstream. Which way are you going to go? That you're going to go downstream. And if you want to go upstream, how hard would it be to go upstream? It would be tough. And if you're going to go, you know what I've discovered? Because I often do this. I almost always, when I fish in my canoe or my kayak, I almost always go upstream. And you know what? No matter what the river is, there's almost always a way to go upstream. But you don't drift that direction. You choose intentionally to go that direction. And what Paul means when he says the days are evil, he means the sweep of the culture is in the wrong direction. That's what he means. He says that there is everything is going to sweep. If you are not careful and thoughtful and deliberate, the culture is going to sweep you away. And the culture is going to define what you believe. The culture is going to define how you live. The culture is going to define your values. The culture is going to tell you how to spend all your time. If you're not careful, deliberate, and thoughtful, if you are not intentional, if you choose to drift, you're always going to go in the wrong direction. And Paul says, man, for those of us who follow Jesus, who no longer live the way we once did and are now transformed into new kinds of people, we have to be very thoughtful about the way that we live. Because if we're not, wherever we're drifting, we're going the wrong direction. Wherever we are drifting, we're going in the wrong direction. And when you add that right there, the fact that the days are evil and the sweep of the culture is in the wrong direction, and then you add that to the fact that our culture is frantic, harried, busy. We don't have time to reflect. We don't have time to figure out where we're going. We don't have time to figure out what we're giving our life to. Man, you have a perfect storm of a people who get swept away by the times in which they live. Wherever we are drifting, we are being assimilated into a culture that produces death, dysfunction, and disorder. Wherever we are drifting, we're just not paying attention and we're not being intentional. We are rarely ever going in the right direction. If you are drifting in your relationships, with your spouse, with your friends, with your church, if you're drifting in your relationships, you're rarely going to drift in the right direction. If you're drifting in your finances, you say, you know what? I don't know whether I'm going to be faithful to God or not this year with my finances. You're not going to go in the right direction. If you're drifting in your health and you walk into the grocery store, the first thing they're going to try to fill up your veins with is fat and sugar, right? I mean, you're not going to drift into health. Wherever we're drifting, man, we're drifting away. Wherever we're not intentional about what does God say about whatever issue we're facing today, wherever we're just going to kind of go with our gut, we're drifting in the wrong direction. Now, take what Paul is saying here, that the time is short. And then he's saying the days are evil, sweeping us in the wrong direction. And you get a sense why, for most of us, when we do think about the fact that our days are short, that we do the exact wrong thing. Because occasionally, as much as we try to avoid it, some of us realize that we don't have as long as we thought. And when you realize that you don't have as long as you thought, what do you suddenly decide to do? Cram as much as possible in, right? That's what we do in our time. Oh my goodness, I realize I don't have forever, so I need to do everything right now. And so we begin to add stuff into our life. And when we cram more stuff into our life, what do we not have time to do? What we don't have time to do is to stop and reflect and to ask God, what am I doing? What is the good life what am I doing with my money and my time and my finances and my relationships? We don't have time to sit before the Lord and to be still and to bring things before him and to let him order our life in a way that brings him the greatest glory, that most makes his kingdom visible and most declares his grace to all the world, because that's what God is doing in us. And so we often actually move in the exact wrong direction. And so as we begin a new year, I want to give you guys three questions to think about that I think would be helpful for us as we move forward. And the first one is this: what is quietly shaping me more than I realize? If Paul says the days are evil and we're constantly being shaped, what is shaping me today more than I realize? Your music is shaping you. Your social media is shaping you. Your podcasts are shaping you. Your relationships are shaping you. Your movie choices are shaping you. Your TV is shaping you. The culture in which we live is shaping us. Are you aware of that? Because Paul doesn't want us to be fearful. He doesn't want us to be angry. He doesn't want us to think that the sky is falling, that all these things are shaping us, but he doesn't want us to be naive either. And it is amazingly naive, biblically, to believe that there are not tremendous forces that seek to shape the way that we see ourselves, others, and the world. And the things that are influencing us are not neutral. They have agendas, they have purposes, and we don't have to be afraid. But what we have to be is aware. And don't tell me that you listen to music all day long that justifies sex outside of marriage, that promotes living in drunkenness, getting revenge on your neighbors. And don't tell me that that doesn't affect you. Don't try to convince anybody that your social media consumption doesn't affect you. Now, it doesn't mean that you should get off social media. It's not a bad idea. It doesn't mean you should get off. It just means I have to know that there is a transforming effect to the things I'm bringing into my life. Don't think that what you watch on TV isn't affecting you. Just know that it's happening, and don't be naive believing that all the cultural forces around us today are neutral, because they're not. What is shaping me more than I realize? And so just lay that before the Lord, because we're all being influenced in some ways that maybe we hadn't thought about it. And maybe those influences are relational. Maybe they're financial. Maybe it's something from your past, and some counseling would do some help. I don't know what it is, but what are these things that are shaping me so that I can begin to name them? And when I can begin to name these things, I can begin to battle and decide what's an appropriate step for me to move forward so that my mind stays on Jesus, and that Jesus is the one who transforms my values and thinkings and behavior, and not these unseen forces in the world that I'm unaware of. Paul simply doesn't want us to be naive. The days are evil, and what is quietly shaping me more than I realize? Here's the second question. What areas of my life have I not had a conversation with God about in a while? What areas of my life has it been a while since I've sat down with God and said, God, here it is. Let's just talk about this. You know what you do in real relationships? And if you're not doing this in your marriage, it's a good idea. In real relationships, you stay in conversation. You stay in conversation. You keep talking. And the reason that you keep talking is because life keeps changing. Your circumstances keep changing. You keep changing. The weather changes. Your finances change. All things are changing all the time. And when things are changing all the time, we're constantly engaging in relationships with one another and asking, what's going on? One of the things I have to do with my wife on a regular basis, I don't have to, I get to, is I get to ask Susan, how can I love you well right now? Because here's the mistake I did for many years. I figured out something and I just kept doing it. And thinking that was the last word on it, not realizing it wasn't the last word on it. It was the last word on it for that moment. And then every time I come back to here, she almost always has something new, different, where she's saying, you know what? If you really wanted to love me well right now, it would look like this. If you had a conversation with God about your finances, your relationships, your health, your church participation, your politics, whatever it is. If you had a conversation with God, and in that conversation with God, God said to you, here it is. I'm going to tell you this. I never want to talk about this again. This is the final word. If God said that to you, which he rarely works that way, but if he did, fine. But if he didn't, when's the last time you brought some stuff to him? And you just sat before God and you opened up his word and you just began to search, Lord, it's really been a while since we dug into my finances. You know, it's first of the year, good time for that. Kind of lay it all out. What do you say about this? Lord, it's been a while since I talked to you about the way I'm loving my spouse or the way I'm engaging with my friends or the way I'm engaging with my small group. Lord, it's been a while since I just brought my body and my health before you and had a conversation with you about this. Just want to lay this before you. And Lord, I just want to begin to search your word. What does your word say about this? Lord, it's been a while since we talked about my job. You know, we started and it was all for you. And yet I realize it's been a while since we've had any conversation. Just want to bring this before you and lay it out and remember what the scripture says and seek some input from you. Where is it in your life that it's been a long time since you had a conversation with God? And how about as we stand on the eve of a new year, that you bring that conversation to him? Because where we're not having conversations with God, what we're most often doing is drifting. Where we're not living in constant conversation with God, which is what God desires and wants. God doesn't want to tell you one thing, one moment, and then let you go off and never talk to him again. That's not the kind of relationship that God seeks. He wants us to abide in him, to live in conversation with him. And where we are not staying in conversation with him, we are not abiding in him, and those areas of our lives are beginning to drift, and we are foolish and naive. Paul would say, if we think any of us are going to drift into faithfulness, and the kind of life that God wants to give to us. Where would God invite you over the next week to just sit down and bring something to him to be in conversation about? Here's the third question. What will be my rhythm of seeking the Lord and his will for my life? As we get ready to enter into a new year, what's it going to be like for you to know God and to know what God's will is for your life? Now, I know a lot of people, some of y'all are like, oh, great, I'm gonna make some New Year's resolutions. A lot of y'all hate New Year's resolutions. There's a lot of New Year resolution haters in the world out there, all right? And I get that because most New Year's resolutions actually don't do very much. So people hate them for a reason, because they make resolutions that they don't do, then they just feel bad and it doesn't do anything. I get that. But for a lot of people who hate making New Year's resolution, the choice that we settle for is even worse. Because you know what I hear people say? The reason they don't make New Year's resolutions is because they're not going to change. They're not going to be any different this year than they were last year. They're always going to be the same. They stopped even trying. Does that sound better? Does that sound better than trying and failing? Just to say, I'm not even going to try anymore. I'm never going to change. I'm always going to be the exact same way that I am today. To me, I think that's worse in so many ways. And God invites us into something more than this, to trust that we are a people filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, transformed by him, walking into faithfulness to him, and that God is enabling us to experience the transformation that God wants to bring into our lives. Now, I'm not asking you to make New Year's resolutions. All right. What I'm asking you in this third question is to say, what is my rhythm going to be for actually seeking to know God and simply saying to God, God, what do you want to do in me and what do you want to do through me? And I think that's different than most people's New Year's resolutions. It's say, how am I going to pursue relationship with God? And what is it that we're, from where I am now, what kind of transformation is it that God wants to do in me? And what kind of life and blessing and beauty does God want to bring into the world through me? And you lay that before God and you say, God, what is it that you want to do in your power, in your strength? And I'm laying my life before you, trusting that you are able to do whatever it is that you choose to do in me and through me. Say, 2 Peter. Chapter 1, beginning in verse 5 says this, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness.